Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, you, Son of Man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, that person shall die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. This is the kind of text that makes me wonder, why did I ever get into the ministry? Why did I ever say I would bear responsibility before God for people who walk this earth and who confess their faith in Christ Jesus? Because what if I have not warned them enough about their sin? What if I have not helped them to recognize their need for Jesus Christ as their Savior? Then I get nailed to the wall, and I don't even know what that means. Notice Ezekiel, who lives about 600 years before the time of Christ. It's a fellow who's already in exile in southern Iraq at a place called Tel Aviv. He is not a pastor, but he is a watchman. He is to say to the people, dangerous things go on in our heart. Dangerous things that we can't deliver ourselves from, that only God can deliver us from. These were not people back in Jerusalem where Jeremiah was preaching. These are people who had already been taken away. Ezekiel was a priest. And when the Nebuchadnezzar forces started to destroy Jerusalem about 10 years before they destroyed it, they took away all the leaders, including Ezekiel. And Ezekiel did some very strange things. He sat on the ground and heard things from God, and he made little pictures on the ground and made little pictures of a city under siege, and people would watch him. He wasn't directly preaching most of the time. He was simply saying, the city of Jerusalem, the city loved by God himself, is going to be destroyed. So these are people whose turning back to God will not make any difference. But these are people who can at least recognize that the hand of God comes both to judge and to save. And Ezekiel is told, make sure you tell people. I will tell you here, out in the open, in public, on this morning, that it bears great burden on my heart that I cannot reach and encourage and find every one of our members to be at worship every Sunday. It breaks my heart that I don't know how to do it, how to get it across. This is where we belong. This is what God makes us to be, people who come to praise and honor him. We live in a world that goes in many other directions. Those of us who have been around a little longer on this earth know that it used to be a time when most people went to church on Sunday mornings. Maybe they didn't like it, but they did. It used to be that they didn't plan anything else on Sundays because that was church day, just like Wednesday evening was church night, and they didn't plan sports activities and things like that. We're in an age that is saying goodbye to the Christian faith and life as a framework. It doesn't form the framework for our country anymore. But that doesn't mean that it's nothing. In the very first chapter of the scriptures, or the very first story, I should say, it's the beginning of chapter 2 in Genesis, the Lord God says, set aside a day. Set aside a day from work to reflect on the goodness of who I am and what I have done for you. Set aside time to hear about my grace and my blessings for you. It says that in Genesis 1 before Adam and Eve even sinned. Church is not a punishment or a burden. It is a place to gather to be in fellowship with the God who created the heavens and the earth. Listen, that created the heavens and the earth. And he gives us a way to come into his presence and to settle down and to offer ourselves to him and say, here I am. As you've loved me, help me to love myself that way and help me to love others. And I don't know how to get that across so that finally people say, I hear that, Pastor, and I want to follow that. I need every one of you to help me with your own family and your own friends to get across the depth in God's own heart that we come to hear good news. And it's good news we come to hear. Good news has as the other side of the coin bad news, though. If we say it's warm in here, and it's the third week of January, then we can pretty much figure out it's cold out there. If it's 110 degrees outside and we walk into a nice air-conditioned store, we can say, oh, it feels a lot better in here. This is more comfortable. Pastor Don Abdon was in charge of something called parish leadership seminars that he developed in the 1970s. And he went around the country and actually at one time even offered me a job to go work for him in training pastors in teaching Harry Wentz Crossways. One of the things that Don put together in terms of how congregations can carry out their ministry was a list of all of the reasons why people don't worship, all the excuses that people give. And there were about 40 different excuses. They put them into about 7 different categories. Sometime I'll read you the whole list. But it's things like, the pastor doesn't preach long enough. The pastor preaches too long. Church isn't at the right time. My children don't know how to sit still in church. I don't like the common cup. I don't like the individual cup. All the church wants is my... Yeah, you've heard that one before, haven't you? And all sorts of other things. He and his elders in his congregations analyzed all the reasons that people give. And every one of them boiled down to, I don't want to look face to face in the eyes of Jesus Christ. I don't want to look Jesus Christ in the face because I think he's going to be after me. And he's going to tell me I don't belong here. And I don't want anyone telling me about myself. I'll decide who I am. The truth of the matter is, that cross that hangs in front of our sanctuary tells us what God thinks about us. First of all, that we are abject sinners, that we in our heart want nothing to do with God. So our old sinful nature is always going to talk that way. But it also says that our God desperately loves us enough to leave his throne, his eternal throne in heaven, to come onto this earth, not to punish us for our sins. Ezekiel was to call people to say, watch out, you're in trouble and you don't know it, so that they could be delivered from what was wrong, delivered from their self-centeredness and their brokenness. Find out that here's where it's comfortable, in the presence of God. That Jesus Christ is not around to lay down the law to us, but he's around to lay down his life for us to die out in that bitter cold of that uncomfortableness of being apart from God instead of us. My God, why have you forsaken me? He says the words that we might often think in our hearts. In times of our discouragement or our disease and sickness, the times when we wonder what it's all about anyway on this earth, he's the one who comes as a little baby, who grows up hearing the scriptures, knowing them so that as he has gone to synagogue, as he is growing up, when he grows up and becomes an adult, he has heard those words, and he can say to Satan, I don't bow down to you. He knows that the scriptures are God's word of love, that the entire scripture tells us about God's love story with sinners, that he wants us to be at peace with him. And he doesn't just hold out a few rules and say, try hard and maybe it'll work. But he holds out his grace and mercy, his dying love, to give us a restored relationship and to make us comfortable with God so that when we come face to face with Jesus and when our children come face to face with Jesus, they'll say, hi, it's nice to see you, instead of, oh no. Peace with God through Christ. We never get old enough to get beyond hearing that. That's why Sunday school and Bible class is an opportunity to hear that good news, to wrap our lives within the good news of salvation, to know that from the littlest one to the one who's been around the longest, the good news of salvation is still needed because we're all little children. It is not because of God's wrath that we are to fear him. That's been taken away. But because of his love that we can yearn, tell that story again. Tell me that again. I want to hear that again. I'm loved by God through Christ, and I'm at peace with him forever, come what may, on this earth. I will try every way I can. I beg of you, with your own families and your own friends, to share that same good news of salvation, to invite and encourage, but to let your family and your friends know as well there is eternal significance in what Jesus has done. It's not just some Bible stories to help kids know how to pick up their clothes and wash the dishes. It's a story about God's grace and mercy that lasts forever. It spills over into how we love each other, but that's not all there is. Our dear Heavenly Father put his Son on the cross that we might put all of our children and ourselves and all around us into his arms for life everlasting. May he continue to touch us and give us peace and joy, and that we might hunger to keep hearing that good news and to share it in every way we can. Amen. And may the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.